In the book of Daniel, he speaks a lot of the end time. And in teaching from these things, it takes a lot of time because there is a lot involved. The Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. And there's a lot, takes a lot of time to teach these things. So we just kind of hurry through them and brief a few things here and there. Sometimes when I have opportunity, I expound these things a little more in detail to my wife. And even then, I don't really get to go through these things with her the way I'd like to. It's really something, you know, with the end of the world upon us and these things so important. We should be like children in school. We should be applying every moment to study of the Word in every bit of our strength and ability toward the growth as to the full image of the stature of Jesus Christ. But we don't. It's just something about us that we go along with our routine of churchism. And as a result of that, we never really get to what the real church is like. Or we never really come to what the early church was like as to the first initial establishing of the church. And we just kind of learn a few little things here and there. And even at that, I would say here at Bethlehem, the hours that I've taken with some of the brethren to talk with them, that still they probably have grown maybe 10 times as much as some other churches. And even with that, we've hardly scratched the surface as to what we should know in Christ Jesus. But this is the trend of today. And we just try to hurry through a thing when we talk about it. We don't take time to expound it the way that we could and give out the great detail of it. But I'd love to read just a little bit to you. The second chapter of the book of Daniel, if you remember in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, we brought out some things on this concerning the dates as to when this came into effect. And we gave the dates, the times when the 10 tribes were scattered into Assyria, at the time that the crown went down into Babylon, about 500 years prior to that, when Daniel was taken down into Babylon, supposedly being about 90 years old when he finally deceased, and being a young man, was taken down there and went on through the regime of Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, the son, as it is given, of Nebuchadnezzar, and then into Cyrus's time of the Medo-Persians, and how that the different visions as up to the image of gold and as to the tree that was cut down and as to the writing on the wall of Mene Mene Tekel Tekel Upharsin. And we've got these on tape, kind of briefed them a little bit here and there. Never really got to go through these things in detail. But it's about this time that Daniel was down there as to prior to the 500 years. We bring it out about the 490 years before the coming of the Lord. And how that after 483 years, Messiah was cut off and made an end of sin. And we tell how that there was 1 week left determined upon Daniel's people after the visitation of the angel. Daniel's people, meaning the Jews. And the Lord bringing the 483 years upon the Jews as to their time from the time of the visitation. That is to say, from the time that the angel visited with Daniel and the decree went forth from King Artaxerxes to Nehemiah to rebuild the house of the Lord. We tell how that Nehemiah was the cupbearer and was fasting. The Lord done these things. And from that time on, about 483 years later, they built back the walls in troublesome times and whatever. And we bring this out kind of in some detail. And then after that, that from that time, as to say, the days of Nehemiah on or King Artaxerxes on over to the time of Calvary, that 483 years of the 490 expired, and there wasn't but 7 years left. Because at that time of Calvary, when 483 years had expired, then the Jews were driven out of their homeland, and God, not counting the time as to this vision, he did not count anything beyond the 483 years. because he did not count the time of the vision as to the 490 years while the Jews were out of their homeland. So that left 7 years. And that 7 years could not come to pass because the Jews were out of their homeland. And then the Gentile age set in from Calvary. And between the 7 years and the 483 years, as to the rent veil and to a dividing of times according to our calendar as to the B.C. and A.D., that is the time of the Gentiles, and that time continues on through the church ages, and then at the church ages when the end of the days of the Gentiles is there, then the time of the Jews come back in, and is only 7 years from that time until the millennium comes in as to the 1,000 years reign on this present earth as to the restoring or restoration of all things. So we bring this out a little bit at a time and try to detail it to you as much as we can so that you will understand or have a continuity of thought as to a sequence of thought. When we say continuity, we mean a continuation. We bring these things out to you that you might have some continuity of thought, and that way when we teach, you can put it all together. So when we read here in the second chapter, or speak of the second chapter, it is concerning Daniel down in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, and at the time when Jeremiah had prophesied that the people of Israel would go into bondage, and you know how he was withstood by the false prophet and how that it upset God, and God told him to go back and tell the false prophet he would die because he had prophesied contrary to what God had said would happen to the people. And sure enough, when Jeremiah said it, he died. So you try to turn the hearts of the people away from the truth, just like a lot of false prophets today. The Bible says that God sendeth will speak God's word, and there was the prophet speaking God's word, but the false prophet was trying to turn them away, like the man that kept trying to pervert the men from the faith as the deputy in the days of Paul and Peter and the days of the apostles, and the apostle just turned around and said, "Thou shalt be blind for a season." All right, so then when we speak of this, we're speaking of the time down in Babylon. And I say this with respect as to what's happening of today, because in the day we're living in, you're seeing problems around Babylon. Over in Iraq, that's where Babylon is. Over in that area, and things is happening over in Iraq. And it is every year that there is a feast that Hussein has there at Babylon, and he usually prints up a gold coin, or a coin, putting his picture on one side, and maybe Nebuchadnezzar or Babylon on the other side. And this is routine with him. So you can tell where his heart is and what his desire is to be a great conqueror and to reestablish old Babylon and to bring that thing back in. Strange things are happening, like for instance, maybe from England to France or somewhere over there it is that they're putting a tunnel up under the water, and they're well on their way with this tunnel that would run all the way under the water, and then there's a beaten path that is to be made from the eastern world over toward Jerusalem back in there to dry up Euphrates, as we spoke of it, to make way for the kings of the east that they might go in there, and all this compassing of Jerusalem and the boycotting as to the abomination of desolation. When the armies come, Jesus said in the 24th chapter of Matthew, when you see the cities of Jerusalem compassed about with armies, know that the end is there, or the time is nigh. And in speaking of this, he said that it will be the abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet as to the abomination of desolation. And he said he spoke of the end of the days of the Gentiles there. So when we speak of the end of the days of the Gentiles, when God turns to the Jews, it will be the end of the days of the Gentiles. Just like when he turned to the Gentiles, it was the end of the days of the Jews. So the coming back in of the last week of the 490 to complete the 483, as to add the 7 and make the 490, then that will be the finishing as to the bringing in of as to the end of the days of the Gentile, and finishing the 7 will bring in the millennium. For that will be the pre-tribulation period. It's right in the middle of that tribulation period that is accounted for as Lucifer being cast out as the Revelation 12. and it shows it right in the middle of the week. A lot of times we speak these things and you ponder about it because we just say that, you know. We say, and here's the middle of the week, and here comes the boycott, and here comes the abomination of desolation. And a lot of times you just kind of wonder because you think, well, where does he get that? Why does he say that? How does he know that? But we're not just saying those things. If you'll go back to the book of Revelation, I'll read these things. You'll find out that I'm seeing what the Bible says. And the way that I know this, if you'll go back to the book of Daniel, you will find out if God interprets the book of Daniel to you, that these things are spoken of in the book of Daniel, and it tells you just exactly where that last week will be, what that last week is, and what the first of the 483 will be. And it tells you just exactly where the boycotting is and the abomination that maketh desolate. And it will give it so thorough till you will know when you read the book of Revelation that it is the unveiled and that it is exactly to the T as to the middle of the week. You won't have any doubt about it at all. That's why I wish we had time to teach it and go into it precisely and detail it to where we could show you in making the comparison to where you would have the biblical knowledge and the Bible education, as we would use in natural terms, as to where these things are and would understand them thoroughly if you decided to tell someone else. But like I said, when you speak to people, you have on about 30, 45 minutes, and then people are restless and they want to go and they feel like you done told them everything that you ever learned in your whole life in that 45 minutes. And sure enough, you get to stumbling around and staggering around, and the reason is because it's like the baby that quits nursing, the milk doesn't stop coming down. And it isn't because there isn't any more milk, it's just because there isn't any more hunger. The Bible said, he that hungers and thirsts after the things of God shall be filled. So when the hunger's gone, then the milk stops. But when the hunger's there, the milk comes down. So we just kind of brief these things to you, and it makes it real hard on us because when you stop hungering and thirsting, we might be right in the middle of a sermon. And I see that we're not going to be able to finish it. And we know that this will go into the foreign countries and over the different parts of the nation. And we try to hurry. And then when we try to hurry, we stumble and stagger, you know, because the anointing doesn't hurry. It takes its time. And if you don't want it, you just don't get it. That is, if you don't hunger and thirst. Saying that you want it is not sufficient. You've got to hunger and thirst. So it really makes it difficult, real difficult, makes it very difficult for us to be able to do anything to bring about these things. All right. So here as we find this lesson tonight is to a little bit of exhortation. We find it over in chapter 2 in the book of Daniel. It's in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. He has a dream. It troubles his spirit. I'm not going to take time to read it. His sleep breaks from him. He sends for the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, wanting to show the dream because he's forgotten the dream. And he wants them to tell him the dream. And they said, this is a hard thing. Said, no king would ask of the wise men this kind of thing. Said, you tell us the dream, and we'll tell you the interpretation. So it upset the king. He said, nope. He just branded them as a bunch of hypocrites. He said, you really can't tell me. He said, if you could tell me, you could tell me the dream. So he just decided to kill them all. Figured they'd been lying to him all this time. Well, it was at this time that Daniel and the Hebrew children was down there, so this meant that they also would be killed. And Daniel had made friends with the leaders down there and the people, and they loved Daniel. And Daniel asked one of them, said, why is the decree of the king so hasty? And then he explained it to him, and he said, look, said, give me a little time. Said, and we'll show the king his dream. Of course, he had to do that by faith because he certainly didn't know it. And then we'll make it known to him. So then he got the Hebrew children, whom they had nicknamed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he prayed and he sought God, and God made the dream known to him. So he went and told the king. And it tore the king up so bad that he just fell down on his face and began to worship Daniel. And he named Daniel Belteshazzar, which was the name of his god. Later his son Belshazzar come up into power. And it was at that time that Belshazzar, having known these things, had it happened to Nebuchadnezzar, he still didn't repent of his sins, and that Nebuchadnezzar was driven out. You remember when the tree was cut down, Daniel gave the interpretation, asked Nebuchadnezzar to turn away from his sins and whatever, and Nebuchadnezzar was driven out like an animal. His fingernails grew out like claws, and his hair grew out like feathers. And seven times was the Passover, when the tree was to grow again. We don't have time to get into that. We mentioned a little of it from time to time. You got it on tape. But anyway, I'm just saying that he knew this, but he didn't turn away from his sins, and he went and got the vessels of God out of the house of God, and he and his concubines and wives was drinking out of these holy vessels. And it upset the Lord, and these being dedicated vessels, just like it's upsetting the Lord today. So we are dedicated vessels, but IRS and the world won't leave us alone. They're determined they're going to put us under a bondage like the Egyptians did the Hebrew children. And they're going to make us labor and take advantage of us. And they're going to quench their thirst and their hunger with our labor. That is, they're going to drink out of dedicated vessels. And it's upsetting the Lord, and it's going to bring the wrath of God upon them to the uttermost, to where that their kingdom will be filled with intellectual darkness, and they'll gnaw their tongues for pain, and they'll beg to die and won't be able to die because of the pain. Perhaps some of you remember not too long ago when I had this vision where I caught this thing by the beard and held it until it went round and around. The fire and brimstone came, and all the nations were devoured. Everything turned into ashes. And at that time, the Rambos came up before me, and some others that we spoke of. And the Lord showed me that he was going to deal with them. Well, it was just today that my daughter was telling me that Dottie has been in such awful pain, said it's just terrible, the pain that she's been in day and night for days and days, and said they've done about everything they can to give her pain medicine to relieve her, and that she couldn't find any relief, and it was just going to inject something into her, something that you put in, I don't know what they called it, that would be there all the time just to put some kind of serum or something into her to try to lessen the pain. And it's just been a horrible nightmare for her. But anyway, this is the thing that's coming on the world. This horrible thing is coming on the world. Well, here's Belshazzar. He's drinking out of the vessels, and all of a sudden, meeny, meeny, tickle, tickle, euphorzin is written on the wall. And the Bible said it scared him so bad that his joints come loose and his knees begin to knock. He called for the magicians, the Chaldeans, and they couldn't tell him anything. And then he called for Daniel, and Daniel went in and interpreted this to saying, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. And he had made the statement, that is, Belshazzar had made the statement that whoever interprets this, I'll make him third ruler in the kingdom. Well, Nebuchadnezzar was the first one, and there Belshazzar was the second one. Now Daniel was the third one. Even though Daniel said, you know, you can keep all of this and your gifts be to another. And he said, the wisdom that's given to me to do these things is to Nebuchadnezzar, not because I'm wiser than anybody else, but God is just compassionate. That is saving the life of the wise men and making you to know this for his purpose. And remember, Nebuchadnezzar was called the servant of God because he dealt so with Nebuchadnezzar concerning the stature where the Hebrew children were thrown into the fire and came out, and how that God magnified his name all over the world. That is the name of God, as we say. And this great king, his throne and dominion across the world, and how that he would always turn back to worshiping God. And even when the seven times passed over him, as to the dews of heaven, when he was out like a beast, then he come back, and God restored his kingdom, and he worshiped God, and God called him his servant. Well, anyway, on and on and on, we could go with those things. And each one of these, as to Cyrus and Belshazzar and whatever, it was a different regime. But here he is with this dream that Daniel comes to interpret. So Daniel tells him what the dream is, and here's what Daniel said. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Now remember the latter days. Thy dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart, that is, of the angels and of God. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent and stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer thrashing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell thee the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given unto thine hands, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces, and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer oblation and sweet odor unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. All right, now, if you'll check this out, you'll find that this stone was hewed out of the mountain. Now, let's just comment a little bit. I'm just going to talk with you now, and I want you to listen just a little bit. Paul said, I am a teacher and a preacher. So we're just going to talk with you a little. And tutor you just a little bit here. First of all, we preach sermons on this like as if you want a promotion. Promotion comes from God. It's in the time of your trials, as Daniel in the lion's den, as the Hebrew children in the fire furnace, that there comes a promotion. And it's at this time that you bless the God of heaven and cause people to believe on your God. It's when you use your faith and you triumph victoriously over these things. And then the people that are in power, they believe in your God, and then they begin to command the people to follow your God, and you convert them like Paul did, who was delivered to the upper echelon, and begin to convince those people in the days that he went before Agrippa and Festus and the others. When King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. See, so these things is when we prove to others. It was when we utilize our ability and faith and we come out victorious, and others know that we're on the losing end of it, but we still come out victorious. Like you people here at Bethlehem, you proved your point, you come out victorious. The sheriff, he writes a letter and says, you've worked hard for what you've got, and we'd like for you to join us. and they want to give their blessings. And as the vision, you know, where they turned and said, we've got a good thing out there. And they want to be part of it because you went through the fire and went through all the harassing, all the humiliation, all those kind of things. And sometimes it was rough, but you proved your point and you established here a monumental thing as to praise unto God around the world. And even as today, Sister Betty said, according to the letters and the testimonies, which it would be just magnificent if somebody could be read here and some of those things could be read over the radio continually of the things that are happening to these different people over there. She was telling me how that one boy got a hold of a piece of the literature. Betty said it's just spreading all over that country. And this boy was fixing to go out with a gang. And as he started out with the gang, he got a hold of a piece of this literature. He stuck it in his pocket, wasn't going to read it, didn't think much of it. But while he waited on the gang, he laid it down on the table, happened to notice it, decided to read while he was waiting. And as he began to read, it struck his heart so greatly, so mightily, that he told the gang he wasn't going with them when they come in. And turned to God in a great way, and it's just magnificent as to him writing to us. But anyway, this is just one of the testimonies as to the many. So here you proved your point. But tonight I wanted to just talk a little bit concerning this and then drop over into another place. I probably won't even hardly have time to get started in these things. But maybe I'll drop in enough that if you listen conscientiously to give the morning's tea to the things you've heard, lest you should let them slip. If you will do this, then you'll get some things and you'll fit them together with things we said before and things that we'll say hereafter. John, Jesus said, when he showed him the vision in the book of Revelation, he said things that was, things is, and things that are to come. So then you have an unction from the Holy One that you should know all things. So what little I can bring out tonight was probably just a fragment of what I'd like to bring out. We'll try to make a present day comparison, one or two little things that might help you. So he says here, God is showing you what shall be in the latter days. Remember that that is in the days following, this is what's going to be. And then when God speaks to Daniel over here, Father, he tells Daniel about the end time. And he tells Daniel, and he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed, the end shall be. And all through this, he speaks of the end time. Then he goes on to say, through the craft of this Antichrist that will come up, he said, and in the latter times of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, that a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. That is a great ruler. You may call him a president or whatever, but he'll become a king. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And it'll be Satan's power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper in practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. That is concerning the Jews. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hands, as bringing in that United States of Europe and whatever. And he shall magnify himself in his heart and by peace shall destroy many. It goes back to what we said about Gorbachev and the Nobel Peace Prize. When he got the Nobel Peace Prize, when it supposedly should have gone to Jimmy Carter. He shall also stand up against the Prince of Princes. That's against Jesus. That is the teachings of Christ. But he shall be broken without hand, and the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Speaking of Daniel. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. Morning as to that time, and the coming of the end time as to the evening. And I, Daniel, fainted, was sick. Certain days afterwards I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. He went on to say, in that day that the princes of princes, the great prince, shall stand up in that day. Said, but behold, I will show thee that which is noted in the scriptures of truth. There is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael your prince. And he went on to say that Michael the prince would stand up in that latter time for his people. All right, you know Michael is the great warrior. And relating back to the Lord Jesus, as the Bible speaks of the angel that Daniel saw where he was standing on the water, the man with the linen, and he speaks of the end time there, making Daniel to know about the end time. And down along the river there, that would probably be the Hiddekel River, and that one of the rivers that come out of the garden is Hiddekel. One of them is Euphrates. And here he's down along that river. And this relates back when you go check it out, where this man speaks to him about the times, time and dividing of times. And and to the Ancient of Days appears with the throne. And then this man on the water speaks to him. And these things about the daily sacrifice and the transgression and all these things. How long shall it be? The vision concerning the daily sacrifice. We have some of these things on tape as to when the transgression shall be taken away, or the transgression of desolation. And the sanctuary trodden under feet. And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. That is, it's going to the 3.5 years. But it would take a lot of time to go into this. I just put it in your mind so you can think as I say the few things that I say. See, because here in the Old Testament, when the angel is spoken of as the mighty angel, it is spoken of as to Israel because they do not recognize Christ. But then when it comes to Revelation, over in 10 and 7, it is called the mighty angel because it is Christ standing over there as the mighty angel. And they recognize him as the mighty angel, where he is standing with his foot on the land and on the sea, just as he did in the days of Daniel, like an unveiling of what it was in the days of Daniel. When you look at the time of the morning, the vision, at the time of the morning, which is Daniel, and the time of the evening, which is John. This is what he's speaking about. And in Daniel's time of the morning, it's sealed up. In John's time of the evening, it is open up. I said, seal not the vision. All right, I just throw those things in so you'd think on these things. I wish we had time to go through those things. So he said, O king, he said, you are that great head of gold. You're that great head of gold. And then he went on to explain, I'll have to hurry through these things. There's another kingdom coming. He said, it's going to be inferior to thy kingdom. It's going to be a kingdom of silver, of the breast and of the irons. This will show that kingdom, which of course is the Medo-Persian kingdom. It's very clear. Cyrus comes in. The first is the head of gold. The second is the breast with two irons of silver, as to the Medo-Persians. And the third is going to be the belly, which is going to be Alexander the Great. That's going to be his kingdom. And then the fourth is going to be the iron, which is going to partake in the thighs. All right, now, in these things, he said that there is going to be of the feet part iron, because he spoke of 10 toes, and part clay. So this is the thing that we're going to deal with just a few minutes here, is there was a kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, which is a Babylonian kingdom, and there following come in Babylon, the Medo-Persian kingdom, and then there come Alexander the Great with the Hellenistic religion. We brought some of these things out in detail. If you'll go back on tape, we brought them out one by one. And then we likened them to Daniel's visions of the beast and of the images. Then after this kingdom, as to gold, silver less value, not as great a kingdom, brass of less value, not as great a kingdom, iron of less value, not as great a kingdom, and then comes one that mixes with the fourth, that could be called a filth, but it's mixed with the fourth, so it's called the fourth kingdom, it's clay. And of course you know you can't mix clay with iron. So in the days of the 10 toes, he said, Nebuchadnezzar, this iron kingdom, folks, when we look at it, it's the Roman power. It's the Roman kingdom. In the days of this kingdom, remember they make everything out of iron as to say their chariots, their spears, and whatever. Now in the time of this kingdom, as to the iron, he said, there will be another kingdom that will come up in the time of these kings. The king that will rule over the iron kingdom and the king that will rule over the clay kingdom. During the time of these kingdoms, there will come forth another kingdom. He didn't speak of a king. He just said a kingdom in the time of these kings. And said, in the time of these kingdoms, there will come forth another kingdom. And this kingdom, he said, will be a little stone that will shoot out of the mountains, not with hands. And this kingdom is referred to as that which came rolling down into Babylon, tearing down the kingdoms of the world, or it smote the image in its feet. The reason that it smote the image in its feet was because it was told Nebuchadnezzar that this is for the latter times. And from the time of the Babylonian kingdom, it kept historically coming on down until we're now in our day coming into the 10 toes. For if you remember when the powers of Rome came in as to the thighs, and the thing was divided up historically as far as we could tell, it went into the Orthodox kingdom as to the Jewish side of it and the papal kingdom. So then we find that it came on down to the toes, and we find that those 10 nations was taken into power under the Roman kingdom back in the Dark Age. And those nations literally hate the Roman power. But there is to be a repercussion of this and a bringing back of this as to substantiate the end time to show the 10 toes, or as the Bible speaks of these 10 horns that come upon the beast, speaking of them being 10 kings. But these kingdoms are going to be mixed. Now, let's just look at it since we don't have time to really go into this thing thoroughly. Let's look at it on a present day level, as a present day truth, as a present day scale. Right now, the common markets of Europe are ready to come in. 92, we're expecting the United States of Europe to come. I say that now that the Olympics has come over here, that it's going to prove to be a curse to America. She's already cursed crazy with sports, even to the fact that the churches are overthrown. And when this thing blooms out in sports, the churches will be no more. It will altogether corrupt the churches, and the church will go so hard after sports until that will be the end of the church world. That will be the finishing off of it, because they're already tilted towards sports as of now, and all they need is that thing to bloom and blossom out with prosperity and prestige and whatever, trying to mix darkness with light. And then as it balloons up, it'll be a big time of prosperity, prestige, and look like something that really is going to be a blessing to the people. It will turn out to be a curse. It's been proven that wherever these things go, if you'll check back, I just heard some history on it today, a little bit of history. First time I've heard it. I'd made statement it would be a curse, and they said that wherever it has gone, that it has proved to be a horrible situation afterwards. And it enumerated some of the things that took place. All right, so we had not knowing that, we had said that, and this thing will cause everything to blossom out. And then all of a sudden, it will just prove to be a curse, and America will just go down just like a balloon punctured, and everything will just fall flat. And at the same time, Mr. Bush is losing his prestige. Mr. Bush has a great place to play in this thing, in that the old legend is that George killed the dragon. And so far, he has succeeded in overthrowing communism. The walls has been broken down. The Iron Curtain has gone down. The wall has come down concerning Germany. And all these middle walls or partitions are being torn down as to show Calvary. It was at Calvary that Satan was cast out, when the middle wall of partition was divided. That is say, the veil was rent in twain. And all these breaking downs that we predicted would come, they're coming because it has to do with the revealed as to the revelation or the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is to say, the change as to the severing between the natural and the spiritual. God has let them all go along together, just like the iron and the clay. See, they've all gone along together. But now the severing has come, and God is going to sever. He's going to divide the spiritual from the natural. He's going to divide the church from the world. And as to the child being as to a rod of iron rule, he's going to catch them up, and he's going to reject the other. From dust thou art, Adam, to the dust thou shalt return. And all this of the first birth will go back to the dust as to that, as we would say. And the other will be caught up into heaven as a spiritual side of it, as to rule with a rod of iron. But when we see these things, typically we see America as to a Catholicism. Because the church being taken out of America, it will leave her strictly as a Catholicism. And we see the clay coming in as Russia, as to atheism and the heathenistic side of it. All right, so we see this coming. Now, We see that things are happening fast. And we see that, as we predicted a long time back, that the great Hoa, which is the powers of Catholicism, would be carried by the beast. And we predicted that the walls, the iron curtains would be rent, and then religion would go in that direction, and they would discover that Mr. Gorbachev was religious and following after Christianity. So they found out he'd been baptized according to Christianity, which we had no idea of anything like that when the Lord showed it to us and we said that. But it came to pass. Now then, the freedom is in Russia. But even though the freedom is there, they know nothing of real Christianity. And even though God will, out of every seed, every nation, get his people, yet the stalk of the thing will be Catholicism. And the whole thing as to control and power will be Catholicism. Communism has in the past buried priests alive. But now they're going to become religious and carry the great Hoa. And the great Hoa is going to find her preeminence over the world. For Russia, as to communism, not only in Russia, but wherever it branches out, is going to find out that whereas they cannot rule through communism, that Catholicism already rules throughout the world. And that if they carry the great Hoa, that they can rule the entire world. When the Bible speaks of the great Hoa, it says, "And she hath made the world drunk off of her fornication." So then everything is just set for that. And as America now, having been the iron, it will suddenly, as to a religious thing, try to mix with Russia. Two can't walk together lest they be agreed. We are religious, they're non-religious. Now they're taking on the religious because the Bible said they will mingle the seed, but it will not stand. And so they're going to try to mix the atheistic side of life with the religious believing side of life, which will never work because those people have been brought up atheistic. They've been cut off from religious teachings. Now, trying to come together, we see them with their superpower over in the East. Over in the Eastern world, we see them over there with their superpower. They've come together. See, which is your 10 toes coming together, because as all of this comes together, later, the greater power that is among these superpowers will become the preeminence as to the ruler to make himself king and rule over them as to the money power. The money power that is capable of ruling over all nations is Catholicism. They're the ones that have the money. And the ones that can be strong enough as to a militant power will be Russia in bringing in China, the old dragon nation. And as to, when I say that, no disrespect to the Chinese people, some of the finest in the world. They received our literature with gratitude. But I'm speaking of the governmental communistic powers that will come together, combine themselves. We're not speaking of people. All of the people, Jesus said, preach the gospel to all nations. See, all of the people must have the gospel preached to them, and God will save people everywhere, Germans and Japanese and Russians and Chinese, and the black and the white and the red and the yellow, whatever. He'll save them all. But out of all of them, though the church will come, yet there will be of them the beast. Like I said concerning my vision the other night, I spoke of my vision that all of a sudden this translation took place and there was no visual evidence of anything. But suddenly I was made to know that we over here were children of God. And these over here, even though they were the cultured type with ties and suits and whatever, even some in the upper echelon, that they were beasts. They couldn't even speak our language. That is to say, we are of a different tongue. We speak a heavenly language and they speak an earthly. But in there it was just showed to be a gobbled sort of a language that they could not speak as to our language of understanding. Well, anyway, this is where we're at right now. So we see the superpowers coming together. We see the nations mingling themselves together. All of them coming together. Right now, America has the preeminence. And this will continue until the time of the end. That is to say, Mr. Bush is right at the place Speaking of this calendar-wise now, as coming to the end of that administration in the middle of the week, should he go on for another course? We've just had the election, which means that the cabinet as to our governmental offices are going to change. What we have that will come up, we don't know yet, as to the minds of those that will be in there. See, just like Joe Frank Harris, you remember the letter that Joe Frank wrote me, the very nice letter, I happened to run across it today. He was a believer. All of a sudden, we got another man in there now that believes in the lottery, and he's going to bring the lottery into Atlanta. That's one of the things he's going to play in, which means that's going to be bad. And about the time that the ball games come in, the sports, all these things of corruption as for the great whore that sit upon many waters. Now, looking at this thing, the way that we're looking at it, we see all the superpowers coming together and the indignation against Israel, as we said it would be. And we see that irregardless to what Mr. Gorbachev has said, he is favoring Hussein. And why not? They've more or less been friends. It's a communistic thing. And it would be favorable for Hussein to keep Kuwait, which I read the paper the other day as I passed by. The headline said, we will never, never, never leave Kuwait. And it would be profitable for Mr. Gorbachev as to the future events to favor Mr. Hussein, because Mr. Hussein more or less would be under Gorbachev's leadership. And he would have the control and ruling power over all the oil. Well, Mr. Bush has stepped right into the midst of a trap. And I was informed the other day that after I made the statement, it was like General George Custer, that the Indians led him into a trap. They said that right after I made the statement that they sent General George Custer over into the East. Some of them said they were astounded because they sent him as to the man that's named General George Custer of today was sent over there to the battle. But whatever it is, I made the statement that what Mr. Gorbachev has very cunningly done, I believe he's a fine man, I believe he wants to be a fine fellow, but because of the Nobel Peace Prize, he's trying to be peaceable, and he said war is disallowed. Whereas Mr. Bush is just on fire, because the only way Mr. Bush can save face is by war. Mr. Gorbachev saves face by not having war and gets the advantages by not having war. So two can't walk together lest they be agreed, and already they're crossing up or in position to cross up. The Bible said that they will make agreements at these tables, but they'll not stand. And here it says he will practice the Antichrist coming in and by peace shall destroy many. That is coming in with flattery or through deception. With this, as we look at it, Mr. Gorbachev has, as the paper stated, the bear has released its grip on Eastern Europe. On Europe. Now, on Europe, he has released his grip. This seems as to a detriment toward communism. But in all reality, it is a very cunning thing on his part. We see that Mr. Gorbachev, in agreeing with Mr. Bush to turn these things loose, has, through Mr. Bush, moved his troops in the areas that has never before allowed communism to come into them. And through Mr. Bush asking for their aid, he has went in and set up strongholds, so to speak, as with people that already would have favored communism if they'd have been indoctrinated, but had helped pretty much to capitalism because they knew very little about communism. But now they're in there to favor, just like, or indoctrinate, just like over in Iraq. There is, I understand, a few thousand communistic people, or Russian people, that are in there. Mr. Bush asked for those people to be moved. Mr. Gorbachev said he could not. They're under contract. So you see that they're not together. All right. Now, Mr. Bush is on the spot because of that. He's on the spot because there are Americans there. He's on the spot with a lot of things. And he's right in the midst of those people that could turn on him anytime, like they did Custer. So we see as to the superpower, as to the 10 toes, as to the common market, as to the United States of Europe, all of it coming in to build this great commonwealth that will take the world trade away from the United States. The United States might just drop into the background. See, the woman had the preeminence. She's been carrying the child. But now that the child is born, as to the revelation coming, as to the child that really believes in God, getting the mind of Christ, and now that he's come to birth, see, it says in Revelation, this great war as she came to travail, and the dragon was standing there ready to devour. We brought this out a long time ago, if you remember, that when J.C. is to Jimmy Carter, having to do with Jesus Christ as the type, when he went to power, it was at that time that the communistic leader, which was the murderer, came out of China. We spoke of it laying right around in there when they received him, and even around the Ford company, back the dealing, whatever, they received him, and it was a great, outstanding thing that they did for him. Well, anyway, now Mr. Gorbachev has been courting China, trying to get them to ally with him, which they refused, and now they're waiting for him to give in to certain things so that they will come in with him and the superpower. Why not? If they'll be communistic, he knows eventually he'll rule over them. And like France, I believe it is, he's going to make an agreement with France as giving up something like he did with America, coming in with peace. Why not? He'll be greater and more powerful. He'll have control. And he said concerning this United States of Europe, bring it on over into Russia. See, so if he has the money powers to the Catholic Church carrying the great whole, and then if he has the militant power as to the world fearing Russia, being the biggest, if the woman births the child, then after that she goes into a twilight. She goes into her rest at the time of the birth, and they take her away and she stays. That's to say here, bringing Israel in and the 144,000 going to the top of the mountain, and then Jesus meeting them there on the top of the mountain, and then the woman going into the wilderness. She goes there for that restoration, and she's there as to that time and a half of time while Antichrist kills out the two prophets. It was there through the first part of the week, and then after that last part is the 3.5 years, then she joins the Lord Jesus to set up the millennium as we come back on the white horses, having been caught up at the first of the week to ride over the tribulation, joining the Lord Jesus for the blood to run through the horse's bridle to bring the woman which is driven out of Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, the country there across Jordan or down into the hiding place of those cities of refuge, where those cities of refuge was put when they come in to take the land of Israel in the early days. All right, so when the boycott comes, they will ravish Israel. Tribulation such as was not upon those people, such a horrible thing as was not since the world ever was. But there is a part of Israel that will flee and go out into the wilderness. And this is the woman, because at that time the 144,000 that follows him whithersoever the Lamb goes, already having been sealed in the first part of the week, there when the church goes up, John saw them in heaven. And when the church goes up, he looks, and on earth he sees the other sealed, 144,000 sealed. So see, it's very obvious that at this time, they that are sealed at the first of the week, they're in the sixth chapter of Revelation, when the seals are open, then at this time, seeing the sealing, they go through all of those hideous things as to the locusts coming out of the bottomless pit and all of these things happening. Then they, at the middle of the week, when the dragon is cast out into the earth, to say, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, is among ye, lest the days be shortened for the elect's sake. Speaking of Israel, no flesh would be spared, but for the elect's sake, as to Israel, the time will be shortened. Anyway, he'll go back like a roaring lion, seek him whom he may devour, because he knoweth he had but a short time, as to the 3.5 years. Nevertheless, during this time, that's when his kingdom is filled with darkness. They'll gnaw their tongue for pain, and it'll be a terrible thing. The darkness there means that they won't have any understanding. They'll be intellectually ignorant, even not even enough understanding to perfect healing medicines. Nothing to ease the pain. All right, so the woman will be the ones that flees out of Israel as to the birth of the child, as to the natural side of it, 144,000, in that the spiritual child is already caught up. We ride over that, then we come back at the end of the week, Revelation 19. So, we, at the first of the week, the resurrection of the just. And then, at the last of the millennium, the resurrection of the wicked. And I brought out, as to the resurrection of the just, what it has to do with. I brought out real clear to some of the people. I don't know that we got it on tape, but it's real clear as to what it has to do with pre and post millennials. And what it has to do, how that they've got mixed up on it, and how that it'll come as to one and the same as a simultaneous thing. It's real beautiful how that comes about when the Spirit reveals it. But anyway, we don't have time to go in that because we're just hitting a few highlights here. So we see Mr. Bush is caught in a trap. He don't know what to do. He favors Israel when Mr. Gorbachev favors Hussein. And as to the Arabs toward Mr. Gorbachev, at this point, they try to come together. They're going to have a cross, even in the war powers. And Mr. Gorbachev is going to be dragging his feet. And he's going to be influential towards some of these nations. And Mr. Bush is going to be influential towards some of these nations. And it's going to be a cross up because the clay and the iron will not mix. You cannot mix them together. They will not mix. And all of this brings us over to the middle of the week as to the little stone that will smite the image, because it's in the days of these kings, as to Mr. Gorbachev and Mr. Bush, as to these kingdoms. It's in the days of these kingdoms that there's a little stone that's going to be hewed out of the mountain. It's going to be recognized as a stone kingdom that coming down through Babylon, smiting the image in its feet, tearing down the kingdoms of the world. Now, when you speak of the stone kingdom, it will also diminish. It will come forth as a kingdom, and it will smite the image in its feet, but it also will decease. The Bible speaks of it, where that kingdom also shall decrease and pass away, and it will not be any of the stone kingdom, will not be any of the iron kingdom, nor any of the clay kingdom, nor the brass kingdom, nor the silver kingdom, nor the gold kingdom. But who is the stone kingdom? It's Israel. Israel is a composition of great stones. They build out of stones. Israel is the stone kingdom that's going to smite this image that has been a historical image as to the constitution from Nebuchadnezzar's golden head down to this iron and clay feet of toes. See, they're going to smite it. How will they smite it? It is the coming of the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation of Jesus on the white horse with the saints. And when he joins them after the boycotting and the abomination of desolation, after the woman is driven out, she comes back after the Antichrist has done his wrong. God has poured out his wrath of the last plagues upon Antichrist. You can read them in the book of Revelation as to the drying up the Euphrates and all these things happening. Then the Lord comes back. The Jews join the forces of heaven. Jesus on the white horse. And the Lord recovers Israel to set up his kingdom. And all of the nations that have gathered in there that have boycotted against the Jews are right there holding their post of duty as to gloat over their victory. And they're right there around that valley. And the Lord comes back on the white horse, and with the sword of his mouth, he literally slays as the Jews join forces with him until there are so many people from all nations of the world as to their armies. All the armies of the nations of the world. There'll be so many of them that when the blood is spilt, it'll run up to the horse's bridle. This is what the book of Revelation means when it says, cast this vine that's been cut down into the winepress of Almighty God. And it was trampled without the city. We won't go into that because we've got it on tape somewhere to tell you what it was. Bringing it out in the book of Revelation. All right. So then we see that they're not going to mix. Their superpower is not going to stand. And Israel was left out of it because they're going to be the little stone that's going to smite the whole thing. They're waiting. God's holding them back right now. See, those four winds was held back. And they're going to be brought forth. And then after that, the little stone is going to release itself. And then when Jesus sets up the 1,000 years millennium from the power of the little stone as to the kingdom, the Jews will be made the head of the nation to judge the world because of what all nations have done to the Jews and how that they've been mistreated. And for 1,000 years, they will be the head of the nation. But they will be wonderful, God-loving, God-fearing people, Christian people. They won't be the hostile, law-abiding people as to the hypocritical way that they are now. They'll be tender and merciful, and they'll be people that are highly respected toward God and respected by God. And Jesus and the 12 apostolic leaders sitting on thrones will be Christian leaders, and they'll be under their dominion and influence, and they will be under our leadership as a great, mighty Christian people. We will have access to the heavenly Jerusalem and the heavenly city, and they will not. They will have access to the restored earth. But at the end of the 1,000 years millennium, they will be changed, and all will be changed, and all of the nations of the world will go into the millennium that don't take the mark, even though their armies will be conquered and destroyed. And I brought it out and showed you where all this would happen, where even the Jews would gather their instruments like wood to burn it, like firewood for heat and whatever. Every man set under his own vine, and how there would be a natural world just like it is now. And these natural things, and the cow would be natural, and the natural milk would be a natural regime for the natural Jews. But yet there'd be spiritual people in leadership, and you and I would be there in that 1,000 years millennium reign, enjoying the wonderful things as the natural, just like Jesus when he was resurrected and ate of the honeycomb. All right. So then we see that we're right at the end. Now we could go on and go on and go on, which I would really like to. But we see that we're at the end. And right now we can see by these few little scattered remarks we had to hurry through what is coming about right now and where we're at. And you can tell where Mr. Bush is standing in this thing right now and what's going to come about. Inasmuch as iron is the power, is the child ruling with the rod of iron, I remember that Mr. Reagan took that rod that was brought to him from that picture of Moses, and as to being a movie star, as to the child caught up to the throne, as to a threesome thing, as to Carter, as to Reagan, as to Mr. Bush, all of them connected with the office. Mr. Bush was in office back there doing that administration, remember? And the terms Mr. Bush, and yet the name George as to Washington, as to the father of our country. In other words, all these things coming together right now, and the dragon being cast out because he has defeated communism to the extent that we made the statement Mr. Gorbachev would not follow the powers of communism, that he would not fully follow it, though he's at the head of it, but that he would search throughout the nations and find what would make the good government by constitution, even taking and incorporating within his policy capitalism, which he has just recently done by giving freedom of religion to his people. But yet he would hold to communism to the extent of bringing in, as to the Chinese nation and the dragon nation, in that they worship dragons, and that he would bring in this thing as to Marx communism, as to the mark of the beast, having the mark on his head, remember? And that all these things would come about, showing it as to the middle of the week, as to the calendar, middle of the week. And that at this time, Mr. Bush could go no farther unless they allow a kingship to come in. And of course, the kingship will come in, but not as to the American way of life. See, because he will have run his term out. And after that, they do not reelect, allow him to run again. So that would put Mr. Gorbachev as to the Prince of Peace in his time, having the Nobel Peace Prize, having gained the popularity through Mr. Bush, having set up his fortresses in every part of the world, and to hold the fear of all the world. That is, he would have all the world fearing him, and the fear of Mr. Gorbachev upon all the world. No matter who come in America, it would be of less degree as to the people respecting it, because after the superpower and everything shifted back as to the United States of Europe, all of the wealth would be in that part of the country. God will be through with what's called the New World here. That would be the end of it. The old country, and then they came and set up what they call the new country, and now the woman births the child, and then the rule goes back to the man. And as I said, you know how it is. You give in to the woman when she's carrying the little one because you don't want to mark the little one, because you can mark a child, whether you believe it or not. A lot of folks thought that was a fable of the old folks, but it's not. You can mark the child. So the man gives in to her and usually lets her have her way. But afterwards, the woman has to then come under subjection again, realizing that the man is the head. And that the Bible said the man was not found in the transgression, but the woman being found in the transgression, the man shall rule over the woman. And the only way she has liberty other than that is through the new birth. And then the curse is set aside, because not any male nor female are under curse. And then if you come into the new birth, that means that you live a holy, clean life. And it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. And husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. So it still takes its submission. It still takes its order. But it's in a loving, kind way instead of a dominion as to the harshness of the man ruling by the law and authority. So it's a beautiful thing for the woman, and the curse is taken out of the travail. She can believe and bring forth her children without all the harshness and sorrow. And so then God has allowed medical aid to bring this about, even to show it in the natural, to where she doesn't have to go through the severeness of it. All right, so you see that they're not going to hold together. And Mr. Bush has got to go one way. Mr. Gorbachev has got to go another way, and that's going to divide the toes, as to say, different nations being influenced by the two great leaders, as to the clay and iron, and they will not mix. And the powers of iron will shift. As to the powers of Catholicism, it will come into great power and rule. As to the religious overpowering the clay, that is to say, as to it shifting from America, when the church is sealed in, the woman just going into the twilight sleep or into the darkness, she just goes out because she won't have the wealth anymore. The world trade will be in Europe. And they're counting on this by 92. And everything will shift as to the male perspective back to Israel to bring in the Lord Jesus. It must shift back to the stone to take preeminence, to bring in the Lord Jesus as to set up his kingdom in Israel. So Mr. Bush over here, as to the name George, is showing it right now, as to catching up as it was with Reagan, as to the throne, the movie star, and these kind of things, as in heaven, so in earth. So then I'm going to try to find a place to close here, having said these few things. See, so you see, they're not going to mix. And with religion shifting, it's going to go to the beast. And the beast is going to carry the great whore. And nothing is going to stop the rule of iron. Except the rule of iron is going to win out over the clay, though they'll be divided. And then as it comes to rule, it won't be America anymore. It will shift, and as it comes up with its strength as to a religious rule, the little stone will smite it, because it will be a thing of hypocrisy and a thing that's hated by God, of standing at the door, of not going in and hindering others. It will be a hypocrisy as to the 10 toes, which relates to the 10 brethren, as to the half-brothers, when you speak of the 12 tribes, as to Benjamin and Joseph, it'll be Israel and America. And God will cause America to come to this place, to withdraw as to the cross between America and Israel, so that God can punish Israel. Because as I said the other night, God has to punish Israel. And as long as he allows America, which is favored in the sight of God, to watch over Israel, the other nations will not attack Israel, because they're afraid of America. But when he gets ready to punish Israel, he'll let America withdraw, just like she's doing now because of the cross, to save face because of the other nations. So this is the time of the problem, of the time of Jacob's trouble. God has not been able to protect Israel through the years like he wanted to, only in the sense of Israel's ignorance. As long as Israel was ignorant, he could protect Israel. Because unto him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is a sin. And Paul speaks of the ignorance of Israel, blinding them in part, so God could protect them. Wouldn't required of them. For him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is a sin. And when they begin to come to the light by all of these truisms, that is to say, people talking about Jesus and the 100,000 Jews coming to the understanding of God, and even as our brother Richard here tonight coming to the understanding of the Lord, and all of this literature and all of this understanding going to Israel, then it is a willful transgression now. And God cannot protect them. And America withdrawing, the nations will not be afraid of them anymore. And it's going to be a judgment upon a hard, callous, mean, contrary people. Paul said that kills the prophets and kills the wise men who have brought upon them the judgments of God and destruction to the uttermost. They say that about a rate of about 60 a month, they're returning out of Russia into their homeland. But when they are driven away after the tutoring of the prophets, and the judgments come as to their enlightenment and the judgment just, then they will return and they will be good Christian people. They'll fear the Lord and they'll be holy people. They won't be Jews because there's no such thing as a Jew outwardly. They will be converted unto Christ, just like you've been converted unto Christ. And they will come to God through salvation, just like you come to God through salvation. And they'll see how foolish it was as to believe down through the years that they could have God without the Lord Jesus. So we see that when the seed was manifested at Calvary, then the Jews were blinded in part, and they that died under the law, embracing this promise as true people, saying even as Peter in that day that Christ went into the heart of the earth to preach to the souls in prison, they that waited in the days of the long suffering of the days of Noah, when the ark was being prepared, even coming from Adam as a good man in it, and Abel as a good man, and Seth as a good man, and on down to Noah and the others. They being under the law died not having received the promise, and they could not be made perfect without us. But when Jesus came, going into the heart of the earth, and I wish we had time to comment on that, maybe some night we'll go back to the seals and comment a little bit. But going down to the heart of the earth, gave them robes, saying, wait until your brethren, as to the rest of the Jews, of course, are slain like you are. And giving them their robes of righteousness as to making them perfect through the blood of the Lord Jesus. Then at the end of the tribulation period, making the brethren perfect as to the Jewish people, to bring them in all as one great world people, which are Christian people, under the regime of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we'll all see alike, know alike, and the veil of death will be lifted. Like as of now, the veil still over the eyes of the people, untaken away. Even until this day, speaking of the Jewish people, Paul spoke of it in that day, which veil is done away with in Christ, that is to say, if they're born again, or if you're born again in your day. Like the Arabs over there right now, their women have to wear those veils. Representing in the old country, the veil of death is still there, even as the Jews. That it hasn't been taken away. But you coming over the great gulf into this part of the country, they don't wear the veils because it indicates the veil of death is gone. So you that are not Christians, even in America, or throughout the world, or even at Bethlehem, wherever it is, you still have this veil of death as to your intellectual understanding as to carnality, for to be carnally minded is death. And like those women among the Arabs have to wear those veils for shamefacedness, you have to approach God with shamefacedness because you still have the intellectual veil of death. But through the circumcision of the word, as to the circumcision of the heart, that is to say, the outer body now dead is the body of this death, physically speaking. And as to the earth being circumcised, when the natural shall pass away and the new earth shall come, as to the eighth day, after the seventh of the restoration, and that the eighth day is circumcision. And as to the circumcision and the spirit, that is to say the veil of intellectual reasoning from the old tree of knowledge, that possess and become interwoven with the minds of Eve and Adam. When Christ came at Calvary and the Holy Spirit enters into your heart, the circumcision of the heart is there to rend the heart and not the garment, as they used to do when they got down in sackcloth and ashes. That is to say, the mind of death, to be carnally minded, is the intellectual veil of death. And when this intellectual veil of death is gone, the mind of Christ is to the eradication, destroying with the brightness of his coming that power of darkness on the inside of you, to bring this wonderful light, that there be no more as to the eradication. Well, anyway, we just said these few little things that you might think on them, and that you might remember that you need to be born again, that we're living in the end time, and everything is at an end. The 483 years is fixing to tie themselves to the seven, and at the beginning of the seven, the church goes out, and we're right there at that time. And the last week is given to the Jews. As to the first 3.5 years of tutoring, Moses and Elijah will return. It will be Moses and Elijah. They will return. And when they return, that'll be the tutoring for the 3.5 weeks that will cause them to believe on the Lord Jesus. As to the one on the right hand and the one on the left, as on the Mount of Transfiguration, and it will sit on the right and the left, as to the law and the prophets, and as to Christ being righteousness in the middle, as to the rent veil, as to separate us to the law and the prophets, that Christ was hid behind the veil. All right, so we see this, and in the middle of the week, these two prophets will be killed. The 144,000 will meet Jesus on the mount as the Lamb comes on the Mount Zion, and then the woman will flee from Jerusalem through the boycott as to going into the wilderness. And then at the end of the next 3.5 years, as to the times, time and half time, all this passing by, we'll find out that whereas the abomination of desolation took place in the middle of the week, all of a sudden the covenant is broken. The woman flees, the 144,000 goes up, those that have been sealed through the first part of the week. Then through the last 3.5 years is the pouring out of the veil, the casting of the stone. The Bible speaks the millstone cast into the sea and all of these other things of the judgment of great horror. We see then at the end, Revelation 19, the blood runs to the horse's bridle of all of those armies of the superpower, like Mr. Gorbachev wanted to make one army to bring the men around Israel. And with that, the resurrection comes with the coming of Revelation 19 as to them that was killed who refused to take the mark, that they might set up the millennium and rule and reign with him 1,000 years right here on this present earth. All right, but we will have been caught up before the week, as to the first of the week, having seen New Jerusalem like John when he saw the beautiful city. And the angel showed it to him being a type of the church. And we will have come back at the end of the week for the marriage supper of the Lamb, as to the slaughter, the blood to the horse's bridle. And we will enjoy, even through the millennium, the wonderful city of New Jerusalem. And after that, the new earth will come down. The new Jerusalem will come down. And fire will come down from heaven just prior to it to eradicate, to burn up even the millennium earth, that it be changed into the celestial. And the Jews will then be changed into the celestial. After that, the nations have been set in order. Everything has been restored, to show that there's no inferiority as to the people that God has created, and no power as to death over God's people except what they allowed, in that death come by man. As we say in closing here, in the day thou eatest thereof, 1,000 years with God is 1,000 years to a day. That a man can live a full God day and show that death is conquered, that God had nothing to do with it, and rather than a man dying, just converting over into this heavenly bliss, to show that God is innocent of all of this turmoil of sickness, death, poverty, and these horrible things that people have accused God of throughout all these many years. Let's stand together, God being justified in all things, giving the glory to God, for to him be the glory, the Bible says. All things was made by him and for him, and for his glory, for his pleasure, and without him was not anything made that was made. So we sing that song, we'll give the glory to Jesus. Now these have just been a few scattered remarks tonight, just to make you stop and think as to the end time and how close to everything is upon us. Let you know the seriousness of the hour that we're living in, and it's not even at the door, and you need to make greater preparations, be more diligent, and that we don't need to come to church just to hear these things, to learn, but we need to be steadfast, abounding in the things of God, and that we need to incorporate these in our lifestyle. We need to be winning souls, going into all the world, a witness for the gospel, and not just sitting around Bethlehem eating and drinking and talking and fellowshipping and passing the time of day and just growing older, doing nothing, and raising a family as they grow older and do nothing, and trying to figure out how to have money and prestige and cars and houses and income and be restful as we drink and eat. Because the Bible said, he that winneth souls is wise. And they that win souls shall in that day outshine the brightness of the noonday. And folks, this is time that you've done something for God. It's growing late. The Bible said, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. And that is why there's so much turmoil, so much sickness, so much heartache, so much problem, so much poverty, children being ravished and stolen away, wrecks, all kind of things, is because the church is at ease. People are at ease in Zion, and they're looking for prestige and education, homes, want to be dignitaries, positions and careers, and all these things, and they become laxed and lazy, and they've retired on God. When you draw nigh to God and you get up and be about your Father's business, you have strength. And when you resist the enemy, as to the devil, he'll flee from you. You won't have any problem with him in poverty. You won't have any problem with him in sickness. You'll be victorious. You won't have any problem with him, period. All that he can do is lie in vanities. Because the Bible said Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. I am the Lord God that healeth thee. I heal all of your diseases. I forgive all of your iniquities. You're sealed, and the evil one touch you not, because you keep yourself. So if God destroyed him that hath power over death and destroyed his works, then where is he if he be destroyed? And where is his works if his works be destroyed? In that we are spiritually translated into the kingdom of God, and our body of death is no more. It's dead and buried, and we're no more in the body as to the flesh, and no more in the world. Then how can he get to us? For we be as the quickening spirit within the spirit of Christ, which is in Christ, which is in God, which the heavens have received. So then he cannot get nigh our dwelling any more than darkness can get near light. So then anything that happens to you as a lie and vanity, as to repercussion of your old mind in a flashback, like people that have one time taken dope. They have flashbacks. People that have done things, been in fear, frustration, have flashbacks. You're only having a flashback of a hideous nightmare, a repercussion as to a lying vanity. All is vanity, vanity, and vexation of the spirit. Seeing you give place to it by going back into that old mind of the wilderness. And then Satan has chance to torment your spirit, which he cannot touch, but through your own mind, torment you as to a continual warfare between the body and the spirit. Abstain from fleshly lust, which warreth against the soul. Make no provisions for it. Kill out the parasite. And he actually torments your spirit through your own mind that you've given through the weakness of fear. And the lack of dedication and concern of walking after Christ. And it's all a lying vanity, but you're still tortured and tormented to the extent that you're weakened in your body, and sickness and whatever. The nerves break down because of the fears and the frustration and anxieties. When he doesn't even exist in your world, and all that you're giving yourself to is lying vanity. It's like watching a movie of Frankenstein, the werewolf, of these hideous, horrible creatures, getting that into your mind when they don't even exist. And a lying vanity fills your mind, and in the night you become affrighted, afraid, and terrorized, and can't even have peace because of fears. When Jesus said, "Be not afraid, let your heart not be troubled." All of these things, fear not. And through that weakness of fear and those hideous things, you allow that which doesn't even exist in your world to torment you, take advantage of you, and rob you of those wonderful things when you're the master of Satan as the body of the Lord Jesus. Him having defeated you, and all you've got to do is have faith over him to believe that he hath defeated Satan in your behalf, and that all things are yours, that he hath given you all things that pertain unto life, health and happiness, prosperity, whatever. But because you won't walk with the Lord and subdue the body to keep it quiet and make it conform to God's way of life, to keep Satan from creating lying vanities before it, then you have problems. Let's sing together, can we? I love him. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased salvation on Calvary. Why is God going to bring in the Jews? Because there has to be a redemption of the body. If the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? Paul, as a revelator, understood this mystery. And since when you are changed, as it was with Elijah, when he got his double potion, he went away, and Elisha had to remain with his double potion. The church being gone and the Jews still remain. And they live a wholesome, happy life, even in the natural body, because they have been under the law, and they already know natural discipline. And when they get spiritual salvation, it will be made manifest in their natural disciplined body, to where God can dwell among them. Even we can dwell among them as the spiritual beings, as angelic forces, to help create happiness and inspiration for them. Because when we're changed into our body of redemption, we go out of this world, even as Enoch, when he was translated, and Elijah, when he was translated, a rider, let's sing this little chorus. So we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. Sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus, to sing of his wonderful love. During that millennium, everything will be changed back to a garden. How beautiful it will be. The swells, the smell of the sweet shrubs, the singing of the birds, the beauty of the animals, their coats of fur will be like a sheen, be so beautiful. Man will be so lovely, his skin so oily and rich, his hair so rich and radiant. As men and women, they will be so radiant and full of life like Adam and Eve, and everything around them will be so lovely, because the life of Christ, even God the great spirit, will be made manifest in their mortal genes with that life within that Jewish form. And those that are Christians during that time. So we'll give all the glory to Jesus, to sing about God's love, to sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus.
and we'll sing of this wonderful love. Let's sing this little chorus. There's room at the cross for you. Sing it with me now. The altars are open. Room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There. Did you notice that after the tribulation period, we who have had the bodily change before the tribulation period, Revelation 19, we come back and then the Jews are changed. When I say changed, they're born again. And they go into their millennium to make manifest the body which we have as to a change, and they naturally show it as to the perfection of it. Although many have come, there is still room for one. For there is room at the cross for you. At the cross, at the cross, where we first saw the light and the burden of our heart run away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Every promise in God's book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. We're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Say it again. Every promise in God's book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is Let's sing this little chorus. Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. Come ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me, come unto me, and I will give you rest.
We'll give you
rest. I will give you rest. Trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy. Come, my burdens light. love the Lord. I remember when I was standing up in heaven holding my hands out. And when I was standing up into heaven, it was the Lord Jesus Christ holding my hands out, saying, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He'll give you rest." Love the Lord. Let's sing another little chorus together. Have you really enjoyed the meeting over in the Carolinas? Have you feel like you went there and really done something for the Lord? Let me see your hand as to your efforts. That's good. We've got a few people that made an effort. Not a hypocrite, no, Mary. If you really made an effort, that's great. But that's what I needed. I will say this, that it was a pleasure for me to be there. And I thought my people done real good in responding. Coming up there and real good in responding. Trying to praise the Lord. And I was very well pleased with it. I felt like God was pleased with it. Felt like a lot more could be done. Don't know just exactly how many we had. Some said about 500 the first night. Some said about maybe 600 more the second night. And they said they counted something under 1,000 the last night and said there was more people, and they estimated over 1,000 people the last night. But whatever it was, there was a good crowd of people for the cold weather. And I thought the Lord really blessed us for that time of the year. If my mother don't go, don't hinder me. If my mother don't go, don't hinder me. If my mother don't go, don't hinder me. I'm on my way. Praise the Lord, I'm on my way. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way. Praise the Lord, on my way. I'm on my way.
I'm on my way
to Canaan's land.
To Canaan's land.
I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Praise the Lord.
I'm on my way.
If my father don't go,
if my father don't go,
it won't hinder me.
Won't hinder me.
If my father don't go,
if my father don't go,
won't hinder me.
Hinder me.
If my father don't go,
if my father don't go,
won't hinder me. I'm on my way, praise the Lord.
I'm
on my way. Can you sing that with me? On my way.
I'm on my way
to Canaan's land.
To Canaan's land.
I'm on my way.
On my way
to Canaan's land.
Canaan's land.
I'm on my way.
I'm on my way
to Canaan's land. I'm on my way, praise the Lord, I'm on my way. One more time. We're on our way.
We're on our way
to Canaan's land.
To Canaan's land.
We're on our way.
We're on our way
to Canaan's land.
To Canaan's land.
We're on our way.
We're on our way
to Canaan's land. On my way, praise the Lord, I'm on my way. Let's just slip our hands up together tonight. On my way to Canaan's land. I was standing here tonight, and I took a good bit of time in talking to you about the things of the Lord.
And really, I didn't take all that long. But as to what might seem long to church people of our day, just kind of taking my time and a few scattered remarks, hoping that you take them, piece them together, search out the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, the books of the Bible, and pray and seek the Lord and let God put it together for you. Out of the many things that we've said, you've got tapes of all kinds, got literature, and you should be a blaze of fire for God. He said, I'll make my ministers a flaming fire. They'll devour the stubble. And God would burn up that chaff with unquenchable fire. As it was said in Daniel, the wind blew away the residue of all of the gold and silver, the iron and the brass, in that the little stone grinds, even stone grinds it up. And it was like the summer threshing floor. Oh, that is in the harvest time, when they gather the wheat and they trample the wheat, and the chaff flies up as to the suction of the fans, and the fans blow them away. It was blown away as the summer threshing, which indicates also a trampling of the wheat. War. I believe that Mr. Bush is on the verge of making a move. I believe he's on the verge of making a move, and I made the statement a number of days ago that he isn't going to take this thing sitting down, as we say, or lying down. That no matter what Mr. Gorbachev says or others, if there isn't some give or some compromise as to a satisfaction pretty quick, there's going to be war and there's going to be blood spilt. And it's going to continue on as to from one thing to another, as to the unifying of the superpower, and as to the clay and the iron not mixing, and the kingdom of stone taking courage and uniting and fortifying, as to the hour when God will say, strike. Strike. Because everything has to come. It has to come. And when it comes, it's going to bring the end of the world. See, we've done seen the iron and the clay. We've done seen the gold and the silver and the brass. We're now seeing the iron and the clay. But we haven't seen the little stone become the kingdom of world rule yet as to the millennium regime. And it has to strike before the millennium to become the world power, even smiting the superpower. And it'll not be able to stand. Even the great superpower, a little nation, will defeat the entire world because Jesus will come back and they will accept Jesus Christ and become Christians. And as Christians, they will defeat the entire world because Christianity, that from the days of Noah, will come forth to join forces with them. Everybody from the creation of Adam will come forth in Revelation 19. All of them will come forth, and the whole earth will be filled with Christians. And all that will be there to fight against them will be the armies of today. For all the rest of the wicked will be dead and will not live again till the 1,000 years is finished. So, what a wonderful hour, what a wonderful victory. For the saints shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and forever. While we're standing with our heads bowed, we're going to sing the little chorus we sing so often. I will praise Him. Going to ask David, that plays a guitar for us, to come while we sing this. And I will praise Him. Something calling on David tonight after having the Jews sing his song.
The Bible speaks of the Son of David. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory. Can you lift your hand? Close your eyes with me. Go out in the highways and hedges, compel them to come in, that the house of the Lord may be filled. While you've got your hands up, your eyes closed, sing this with me.
I will pray.